Welcome to another episode of Systematic Geekology. This is a space where we seek to create and cultivate healthy conversations between those things we geek out on and the philosophical and theological questions that often arise out of our fandoms. Like, what does it mean to be human? What makes a hero? What makes a villain? How do the stories and narratives we geek out on shape how we live in the world? We are your priest to the geeks. We aren't all ordained, but we see ourselves as mediators at the intersection of geek culture and going deeper in our faith. We don't always have to agree, but we do respect each other, and we see everyone as a beloved child of God. Everyone geeks out on something, so come geek out with us and enjoy the show.
You're listening to an Anna's Owl Ministries podcast.
Can you upload your consciousness to a new body?
What's happening in Peacemaker Season 2? In our strange new worlds, we're experiencing good. We're going to be asking those questions and a lot more in today's episode of Systematic Ecology. We are the Priests of the Geeks. I'm your host, Christian Ashley, for a special What's News episode, joined today by two lovely co-hosts. Of course, Evan Garcia. How's it going, Evan?
What's up, party people? Doing good. Glad to talk about this cacophony of new stuff that we have. We are spoiled.
Oh, yeah. And if you're on YouTube, you can't see him because he's very camera shy. Retro Herbie, how's it going, Herbie?
It's going. I'm here. I'd rather be sleeping.
Oh, man. Wouldn't we all?
Oh, yes.
I have a
so
with this in planet.
There you go. Gentlemen, what's the recent stuff you want to use for our lightning round?
Yeah.
I can go first. No one else wants to go.
I'll do the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. They did the re-release of the first movie, and I took my son, and I realized as I sat down, I was like, man, I don't think I've seen this in theaters. So I was like, it was a completely new experience for me. So it was fun. It was fun, a scene, and those puppeted costumes, man, they hold up pretty well. Hold up pretty well. And it was pretty fun. There were the few jokes that I don't know how I got past my mom in the 90s. I don't know how she didn't pick that up, because I was like, he said what? But yes, but
was that just one of those for one day only kind of releases?
I think for this month, I think.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Good. Herbie, what about you?
Yes. I've watched the most recent season of King of the Hill. I've watched the most recent Strange New World. And next on my list is the most recent episodes of Upload.
Okay. So I heard really good things about King of the Hill. We're getting to Star Trek later on today. What are your thoughts on a new season?
So, loved it. I think the era that King of the Hill was in is a bit different. Unlike the old episodes of King of the Hill, there was this storyline that progressed through all 10 episodes, which was not the sitcom style of the original King of the Hill. There were elements that might carry over, but more or less every episode was completely standalone. The original series.
Yeah.
You can like it or dislike it. I think it has a lot of positive things to the new season, but it was a striking difference that I noticed.
I'm sure that's a factor of time and everything. I heard other people say something similar to that. King of Hill is just one of those shows. It's just nice to put on. It's not offensive. It's not the greatest thing in the world. You're going to laugh every now and then to have fun.
It's a show. It's designed to not be taken seriously. It doesn't get too offensive, but
yeah, it is kind of offensive in a lot of ways. You just have to remember it's a cartoon and they're just trying to have a good laugh on most of these things.
Yeah. Now for me, for the lightning round, I am continuing to watch Ultraman Omega. It's starting to lose me a little bit. It's not progressing the plot in any way, shape, or form. It's just, hey, look at new toy you can buy. And yeah, that's been the Ultra series for quite some time, but it's kind of grating on my nerves. I'd like them to actually progress things. But other than that, it's enjoyable. Then, South Park continues to be incredible. They're doing this thing where they're releasing bi-weekly instead. I'm sure that's a Paramount decision to where they can have people stay on with their subscriptions. That was what I was looking for, just so they can make a little extra cash. But right. No, Trey and Matt, like, never leave, guys. I love you. Okay.
That might, because I don't have a Paramount Plus right now, but I'm thinking about getting it just for South Park.
Yeah. I mean, if there was one show you had to get it for,
right,
other than, of course, Star Trek,
yeah,
it would be South Park.
So,
why don't we go ahead and get into this bad boy? We're going to start off with Star Trek Strange New World. This is the third season of the show, 3 out of 5, now that we know where things are going, because they've already announced they're going to do 5 seasons, and then potentially be doing a spinoff with Kirk in charge again. For those not in the know, this is pre-Kirk in the Enterprise. Captain Pike is in charge. We've got a Spock who's learning everything before we see him in the original series. Uhura is there right now. We just got Scotty as like a member of the crew after what happened in the events of season 2. And yeah, it's a lot of good fun. Herbie, anything you want to add before we go forward?
I mean, honestly, it brings a lot of that original feel of Star Trek, the idea of seeking out something new and also dealing with the intricacies of life and like politics and war all into the mixture. I think Strange New Worlds overall has been a really good breath of fresh air to the Star Trek franchise.
Retroactively, it is the only reason why I'm glad that Discovery exists. Because without Discovery, we don't have Strange New Worlds. Thank God for Discovery. You will hear me say one time ever, and it's because of this. This show is phenomenal. It's putting some hope back in our Star Trek. I've already said Discovery sucks. It sucks. And it kind of took all the joy out of things for me. But this is bringing it back to roots of where does the Federation, of why do we go out and seek out new life and new worlds and all this mess? Well, because we're explorers, because we want to find things out. We want to discover new things and figure things out and understand where we come from as people. It's just fun. Yeah, this isn't a perfect season by any stretch of the imagination, but I enjoy it. So you're enjoying it so far, Herbie?
Absolutely, I am. It's one of the things where I kind of watched the entire season or everything up to this point in like 3 days and was depressed when I didn't have another episode to watch.
I hate that. Especially with such short seasons now. 10 is not enough for a Star Trek season. It's not enough for anything anymore.
Bring back
unless you're doing like a miniseries. Well, I'll take 26 at this point.
The first episode of Star Trek was like, what, 53 episodes? Can we have that back, please?
Well, no, it was split in 2 seasons. There's still like 26 some. So just a bit of plot synopsis of what's been going on. I've not seen the most recent episode. I don't know if you have, Herbie.
I don't know if I have. I've been quite busy this week, so can't remember what the last one I saw was. So
at the end of season 2, we had the Enterprise encounter the Gorn, who were making incursions on Federation space, or was the Federation doing it on their space? It's all up in the air in that regard. And in fact, it was colonists from the Federation who were not officially licensed. That's what it was. And through the process of this, they had to escape, leaving some of their crew behind on one of the Gorn ships. And they come back, save them by kind of freezing the Gorn a little bit without killing them at this point in time. And they're able to come back from the Gorn. And speaking of things that are kind of weird, the Gorn have very much been made into a certain creature that we'll talk about later in this episode. There's some very more xenomorphic traits about them, which is an interesting take. I'm still not big on it, but I mean, you know what? It is what it is. If that's my one complaint, I'll be okay.
Hey guys, again, thank you so much for listening to our show and being part of the Systematic Geekology
team. If you want to support our team, you can do so by going to Captivate. And I know most people don't listen on Captivate, but it's in the description wherever you're listening. You can go to our website. At the very bottom, you have the options to either subscribe and you'll get some extra content and fun stuff, like our bonus questions, all those kind of things that hopefully you all come to love as much as I love making them with our fellow geekologists on the team. We also are hoping to do some future D&D campaigns, stuff like that, and all that's available for our sponsors. But if you don't have those extra funds and you're not really into the subscription thing, you can also leave a one-time tip, just one-time thing to help out our show as we kind of stay in the game with podcasting, keep relevant with all the technology and all that stuff. And it costs a lot to run a show, and we appreciate you for your help. Again, thank you so much for listening. We value your time, and we really, it means a lot to us that you give us your time by listening to our show and supporting us in that way. If you feel led to support financially as well, we appreciate that. Let's get back to the show.
Then we go to our next episode where we see Dr. Christine Chapel is meeting her fiance, Dr. Roger Corby. And as you know, for those who've been watching, she and Spock have had a thing that was hinted at in the original series, but now they're focusing way too much on it. There's another complaint. And through the process of the wedding plans for this, we end up with her trying to rekindle things with him, but failing. Let's see, what else happens in the episode? I don't know. Yeah, that's the one with Trelane in it. They don't know it's Trelane, and we also learned that Trelane is also, spoilers, a member of the Q Continuum, because John DeLacy appears in energy form to talk him down, which was always been a huge fan theory for years, is that's what was true about Trelane. Then we go to, if you guys want to talk about anything before I go from episode to episode, please feel free to interrupt me, to the third episode, where Pike's main squeeze, Captain Patel, who has lost her ship and is now on the ship with them, has been implanted with a Gorn inside of her, which is one of the xenomorphic trinitrates that they have. And to save her life, they go to this planet to try and find a cure, because of course there's only one planet and it has to be in Klingon. And, well, technically Klingon territory, but technically DMZ kind of zone-ish. And that's where Pike and Dr. Mbenga go down there, and they're confronted by some Klingons, one of whom is the daughter of the ambassador that he murdered. And in an attempt for her to regain her honor, they're barely able to escape some plant zombies. So we have zombies in our Star Trek now, outside of the Lower Decks episode.
I'm pretty sure they did not use the Z word.
I'm pretty sure...
Did they? It did say Z word though.
Yeah. Oh, that's right.
Really?
Then next up, we have the first ever holodeck episode. And if you know anything about holodecks, is that they're designed to fail, apparently. We can't have a good holodeck episode without something going wrong. And of course, the first one ever has to do the same, where Lon is going through a murder mystery with Spock. Only big twist, it's not actually Spock. It's just a computer making Spock. And showcasing a lot of things where we kind of see a very fun referential episode of them kind of being in the 60s with like a space adventure odyssey episode. It's heavily inspired by what Star Trek would have been like. It's an excellent excuse for Kirk's actor to show up on the scene because of pattern buffers or whatever. It's for the extent of putting him on screen. Let's see. Then next up, we have an episode where they go to an alien planet and find this place where a bunch of things are being kept behind this technology that has become a prison for these extra dimensional beings. And one of them ends up possessing a member of the crew, Gamble, who's been kind of an off and on new character. And unfortunately, through this, he ends up dying. And they're barely able to get the ship back and, you know, save the crew. And the next one after that, we have the Enterprise encountering alongside the Farragut, where James Kirk is the first officer of a ship that is massive, just like almost, if you didn't know it wasn't the Pockleds, you would kind of think it was kind of Pockledy in that it's made of different ships and different parts and stuff like that. And they just attack people without warning and try their scavengers. And they end up fighting them and barely manage to destroy them in time to save the Enterprise.
as unfortunately we learned that these are actually survivors of Earth from the World War III that happens in Star Trek canon, who had left the Earth behind and over the years kind of lost their way and were very isolationist, and a very compelling episode. Then we go to one I'm kind of have mixed feelings on. It's the last one I watched. This is where, goodness gracious, Ortegas's brother? Yeah. Her brother has been filming a documentary the entire time he's been on the Enterprise. And it's kind of weird. It's filmed almost as a documentary itself, of just showing Starfleet in action. And he's asking all these higher questions that should be asked, but it's not really handled the best, in my opinion, where they end up contacting this race that's fighting against the Klingons, and they've had this super weapon they've made. They find out the super weapon is basically like a space Mothra. And unfortunately, they have like brainwashed the space Mothra and to killing people, and it wants to die. So they essentially euthanize it.
Whoa.
So that has been our most recent season. Like I said, I haven't seen the most recent episode. So first off, Evan, since you haven't watched it, what are your like impressions just like hearing all this madness, all these proper nouns are just threw out your way?
I'm glad that Star Trek has something that the fans like, and that overall it's not the mess that the last one was from what I heard. So,
amen.
Yeah.
All right, Herbie.
I will say that one of the most interesting episodes was the one you talked about, where the refugees or whatever they're called from World War III are basically stripping everything that they can find. It's almost like a gluttony type of thing where they're just surviving by taking absolutely everything they need without any care, compassion. We need this. You're dead. We're taking your stuff. Just going through the entire galaxy, just grabbing everything they need. I thought that was a very interesting episode. But at the end of the day, I think they deserved what they got at the hands of the Enterprise, even if they were humans, because it shows they didn't even care about their own race. They were completely willing to destroy the Enterprise and grab the few things that they needed off of it and leave it behind.
Hmm. Yeah, I think this is one of the important things, because you don't learn this until like the very end of the episode, is that these are actually human beings. And you know, in the Star Trek canon, before the events of First Contact, the Earth is a wasteland because of the events of World War III. And you have, you know, people like, I think it's Colonel Green, who was leading the Earth into this post-apocalyptic wasteland, dehumanizing people, committing genocide. And then humanity of the 23rd century is looking back at humanity of the mid, you know, 21st century and kind of going, oh, that could have been us. Like, what makes them so different than us? Why did they turn out the way they did versus how we did? And they kind of go through this whole thing of, because this is a command episode where Kirk has to take command because his captain gets injured. So now he has to become the temporary captain of the Farragut to try and save the Enterprise, to kind of put him in the chains of command there for the first time. And he's doubting himself. And there's a great moment between him and Spock earlier on, but there's also a great moment between him and Pike. And it's like, look, what a difference is. They lost hope, or something to the effect of something like that. And they just for years had plenty of time to contact these new species and make friends with them, but they decided instead just to become fearful of what was around them. And I think that's a very poignant message.
They also posed the very same question that came out in Star Trek Nemesis there, of what guarantee do we have that if we were in their place, we wouldn't come out just like them?
Yeah.
And Pike is like, we don't have such guarantees.
Which is a great way of putting it. It's like, I mean, you can hypothetical it all day. You can what if yourself out of whatever conundrum you're in. The end of the day, you're where you're at. And he even tells Kirk, like, the fact that you're feeling bad about this, that's a good thing. I don't think they would have felt the same way.
I mean, it's obvious they didn't. They had just destroyed an entire planet. They had just basically taken up the Enterprise. And we're just going to keep going. They didn't feel bad about it. Or at least there was no sign of remorse. Of course, we have no idea what culture had developed inside of this. But we do know there was, what, 7,000 life signs when they destroyed the ship?
I think so, yes.
And another thing in the episode, they were on their way to a pre-warp world to strip it of its resources, which, you know, the big no-no in the Federation, but knowing a ship that's been on its own for over 100 years, they're not going to have the same compunctions that we do.
And there's also the fact that they weren't even trying to communicate. When they came across the Enterprise, there was no communication. It was, get out of our way. We destroy you. We keep going.
Yeah, even the Borg tell you they're going to assimilate you. They said absolutely nothing. Are there any other episodes that jump out at you, Herbie? Are we good to move on?
Honestly, there's a lot of, we could talk about it and it could be a week long episode, but that episode, the one with that plot line just stood out over everything else. All
right. Well, next we get to one of your topics today, Evan, that of course being Peacemaker season 2. So take us away.
All right, will do. That is right there. Bring up the good old slide there. All right. All right. Peacemaker season 2. I binge watched season 1 about 2 weeks ago because I completely forgot that it existed. And I was like, I haven't watched this. What happened? So I watched it. I loved it. And then we watched Superman, and that got me hyped again for the DC, the new DC universe. So this will pick up. This is a season 2, and it picks up right after, seems like both things, season 1 and Superman, because you see the Justice Gang. They're trying to hire some more members, and a peacemaker goes and tries out, and that goes wrong, and hilarity ensues. And but I'm really liking it. Episode 2 is about to drop now, so that's the first thing I'm gonna watch when I get off here. And I'm really liking it because it's the same kind of story as Superman has, in the sense the main character's trying to find his humanity and trying to find it within community, basically. But they are two different people, so the shows are completely different. Like. I'm not going to show my kids this show.
No, absolutely not.
Yeah. So I took them to Superman, but they're not watching this. So, but that works because every character is different. They all have their strengths, and the show, and James Gunn is getting some slack online about it, about the people saying, they took my son to see Superman, but now he can't watch this show. I was like, it was never the case. I never said that this was going to be one huge cohesive thing. So, but I'm excited.
Some things are made for different audiences. Sorry to interrupt you.
No, it's fine.
Yeah. Herbie, are you familiar with Peacemaker?
I am not, and I have not seen any of it.
Okay. So essentially, there's some shenanigans going on here because this was actually part of the DCEU originally. But then when Warner Brothers did what it did and ruined everything by not having a plan, James Gunn came in to save DC from itself and Warner Brothers from itself to create a new cinematic universe for them. And now they have done the thing where they have retconned. At the very end of season 1, like, the Justice League shows up post after Peacemaker and everyone working with him stops an alien invasion. But they've replaced the people there with the Justice Gang from the Superman movie. And putting this to the point where this is now officially part of this new universe and not the old universe anymore. And
to George Lucas, basically.
I mean, it's kind of seamless.
It is.
I mean, yeah. I mean, I'm not complaining about it because I enjoyed his cameo in the Superman movie, and seeing him here again was fun. I think it works well. And they're also, they had some of the things beforehand was like playing with the idea of alternate realities. And we were thinking, oh, does that mean he's going to shift universes or something? Like, oh, actually, no. He finds out that in this reality, in this continuity, his dad is the White Dragon, leader of a bunch of fascist, supremacist, and racist men. And he killed him in the last season, but he finds that one of the things that he owned was this essentially portal to another reality. And he goes in, and not only is his dad alive, his brother's alive. And there's some, I don't know what they're going to be doing with this. I'm like baffled in a good way. I don't know where we're going from here.
And he kills his alternate self in that world. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause the alternate self sees him in the other reality, chases after him. And he accidentally murders his alternate self. And that's where the episode ends. So I'm curious to see when they pick up from that tonight when that drops.
Yep.
Because you're kind of wondering, like, does there need to be a new season? Wasn't season one sufficient? So I'm curious to see where Gunn goes with this. Because as seen in the first episode, his first name's Chris, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
He's like struggling to find himself to a point where there's a scene I could really have gone without seeing. But it is what it is. This is intended for a mature audience. And there is
a long
basically
scene too.
Oh, gosh. That was way too long.
Jesus. Still going.
Yeah. Essentially, an orgy hosted at his house. And it's part of the showing the spiral. It's not shown as a positive thing, I'm pretty sure. It's shown as him like giving into depression and just trying to find the newest high, as it were. Mm-hmm. So I think this season is going to be a little bit about him rebuilding himself. So maybe he's going to go to that alternate reality for a little bit where he looks like he's more respected. Kind of like a Superman, right? Since he's not respected in his own. So maybe that's how it comes in. And then learning, it's like, look, you can pretend to be the other guy as much as you want. You're you, and you have your own reality. Stay there. Yeah. But I don't know. I'm speculating.
Yeah. The one thing is that I'm still shocked every time they see John Cena and he's not a bad actor.
Right.
I'm still shocked at that. Like, I can't believe he's a superstar now. It's like, who would have thought?
He does a great job.
He does.
And I'm surprised that they actually put Amanda Waller in the first episode, considering the huge presence she had in the last one. But we still feel her effects in that, you know, her daughter can't find a job. Oh, gosh. What is, I'm so bad at proper nouns. His gal pal. What is her name?
Right. Yes.
She's having a tough time finding a job.
With the anger problems with the toxic masculinity.
You know, normally I find jokes like that stupid because they're used incorrectly, but like, this is a good way to use it.
Perfect.
Because of how she reacts to it. And it's almost like, I resemble that remark you just made about me. So I'm a woman. I can't have toxic masculinity. But see, it's exactly like a toxic masculine man would.
Exactly. That was classic. That was
Yeah. So I appreciate what they're doing here. So, like, you have any speculation on where things are going to go from here, Evan?
James Gunn says episode 6 and episode 8 are huge for the whole universe. So I'm kind of excited for stuff like that. So, and this what is a seemingly unknown character, man. Like, they've really made it, and They've really made it into something that people like, and the characters are super wacky, but they are relatable. So,
yeah, this is definitely, as mentioned before, don't watch this with your children. Mature adults would be the best. There's gonna be foul language. There's gonna be nudity. Things that you might not want to experience. So spoilers that way, don't watch. But other than that, if you can get past all that, there's some really good stuff lying underneath this. Like, I knew who Peacemaker was before the first season, before the Suicide Squad movie when he appeared. I never cared about him. Now I care about the character. And I think that's what Gunn does really well, is he's like, look, all these obscure characters over here, they
you give them a chance to put them in the limelight and you're going to care about them because I'm going to make you care about them. Like, same thing with Creature Commandos. I cared about maybe Dr. Phosphorus and that was it. And the only reason I care about him is because, you know, he's fought Batman a couple of times and a couple of other superheroes. But yeah, he made me care about every single one of those members of the team. Anything else we want to say about Peacemaker before we move on to our final subject of the night?
I wish they would drop it all at once, but they do not. So,
I will say the dance number this time around is not as good, but I think after you start with what you did, it's just going to get compared to it either way. So you just do what you have to do.
Yeah.
It's like, it's still fine. It's just clearly not as good. And that's fine. Now, the only reason I cared about it is because it was done well the last time. So moving on to our final discussion piece for tonight, we have Alien Earth, which at this point has released 4 episodes. Kevin has seen 1, I know. Herbie, do you care at all about the Alien franchise?
I am not the biggest fan of the Alien franchise, but let's just say that I haven't seen any of this.
Hey guys, Christian here to talk about our YouTube page. That's where you can go find us at youtube.com/@systematicgeekology. We have exclusive stuff there, exclusive videos where you can just hear other topics that you'll never hear on the podcast proper. These include things like comic book catch up, where we're discussing the newest comics that we're reading, Friday Night Frights, where Joe Day and I explore a cryptozoological, paranormal, ufological item of discussion. Has a lot of good fun there. Have a lot of great times with him. We have spontaneous YouTube shorts that we decided to do, a topic we wanted to discuss. They're in a very short form. We do them there as well. You can interact with us live as we're recording like a What's New episode or something like that. You have something you want to chime in? Well, how can you do it unless you head over to youtube.com/@systematicgeekology. All right, guys. See ya.
It's fair. So let me set the scene for you. We are about 2 years before the events of Alien, the original film, if I'm remembering my timelines correctly. And I'm definitely not using any proper nouns because I know no one's names by heart. I am learning them as they come. But we get a bit of opening narration or credits where it talks about the 3 different kinds of robotic life. You have, I think, cyborgs, you know, humans modified with robot parts. Then you have synthetics, which are, you know, Ash and everyone like that, who are full robots. And then we have this new group that is being introduced in this series, which are humans who are uploading their consciousnesses into a robotic synthetic bodies. And that's a huge part of this is we follow a group of these, I think there's 5 or 6 that... There's a huge Peter Pan thing going on here, and it's not very subtle. As you continue watching through this, Evan, you're going to see, say, oh man, I'm being pounded on the head with this. And I'm curious to see where they go with that, because I find it actually fascinating. Even with the heavy-headedness of it. But the idea of these being like a new kind of lost boys, and you know, they're girls among their rank. But these are kids who have been... have their minds moved into what would be an adult body. So in later episodes, you'll see them like an adult actor acting as if they were a child. And it's very well done for the most part.
Whoa.
It's the idea of like, okay, what does it mean to have consciousness? What does it mean to have a body? And like, they even directly ask those questions. And you have some people who are just snarky about it and say, well, we've been pondering that for years. And we'll have other people like, oh, let's actually think about this. But just for the sake of going through the plot, a ship owned by Weyland-Yutani lands in a region owned by a company called Prodigy. Now, Earth right now is controlled by 5 different corporations. The definition of unchecked capitalism, not capitalism itself being bad, but unchecked capitalism leading to the point where countries are now united by company. And Prodigy is kind of owned by, I mean, it's fairly obvious. They're making like an Elon Musk kind of figure who... has started off kind of young, very hot-headed, very his way is the highway kind of thing. And what Weyland-Yutani was saying is they were collecting samples of dangerous life forms from across the galaxy. I sent that ship, I think like 65-ish years ago, to return to Earth so they could study those things, you know, for the concept of war, for profiteering off of stuff like that. And it crash lands after a xenomorph gets out. And the only surviving member of the ship is a cyborg, whose name escapes me, as they all do right now. And he, his job right now is he's trying to track them down and bring them back so that he can get paid. He can like do the company well. But like I said, they crash land in Prodigy's territory, which is Asia, if I'm remembering correctly. And some of them have run amok, and the new synthetic life forms, like they have an actual name for them, I can't remember off the top of my head, end up as part of the crew there. So you know, since they're not human, they can survive things. Their bodies are augmented better, and they end up interacting with the alien itself. So I won't go any further since you haven't seen any more, Evan. So what are you thinking so far, man?
I'm loving it. The production value, the set dressing, it's basically they shot it back in the 80s again, like with the same film, and it just has a perfect aesthetic. He kind of blew me away. Like I was kind of like, I wasn't focused on the dialogue. It was just so beautiful to see. I was like, damn, they did a good job. Like, this looks like what I think of a alien movie in this franchise. And I'll probably watch that episode again because there was a lot to take in. And then, I'm excited to keep going from there. From what you said, it seems super interesting.
Yeah, I'm very intrigued by this. It was one of those, I was kind of like, okay, what are they going to do with this? And you know, start reading a little more about what they were going to be doing with this. Like, okay, maybe you're winning me a little more. And then the first episode dropped, and I'm like, okay, you sucker me in. I'm with you. We're in it to win it.
Yeah.
And I think, and I joked about not knowing anyone's names, but there are some really compelling characters here. Because as you're going to find out, there's a brother and sister, one of whom years ago became like the first of these kids to upload their consciousness into the synthetic bodies. And she's been kind of watching him from afar. And he's been doing a thing where he wants to get off of contract with his company to go to med school, I'm pretty sure. And she kind of finagles things to where they end up meeting. And the interplay between the two of them, because it's like, okay, what does it mean to lose your loyalty to one company and then head to another company? Are you selling your soul by doing something like that? Excellent questions to be asked. And then, of course, just the question itself of, you know, can the human soul be moved into another body, one that is synthetic in form, or are you just implanting like memories and thoughts and ideas?
Well, they should ask Emperor Palpatine and see how he did it.
Somehow.
Yeah, somehow.
Somehow Palpatine showed up in alien Earth. So what's your take on that? Body uploading, the transhumanism ideas behind something like that. Is it something we should be looking for? Is it ethical?
I think it's kind of scary that kind of stuff is probably might happen within our lifetime, like some version of it, which is kind of interesting. And I'm super interested to see how that goes with AI. We can figure stuff out like that. So I'm just curious. It's like, it's one of those things like time travel. It's been a staple in the sci-fi world and stuff. And we always talk about consciousness. So.
Herbie, your thoughts?
I personally think that the idea of uploading your consciousness to a machine or to another body is probably not possible. Even if you could take like the mental state and the memories and all of that and put it into something else, intrinsically, it is not you. God created us a soul and body, unionized into one thing. And
that is not something that we can just move from one thing to another. I said Upload is one of the shows that's next on my list, and it's a fascinating idea that you can take the mind of a person that's dying and upload it to the cloud, and they can continue on living forever on a server. However, I think at the end of the day, that that's just not something that's possible. You cannot actually keep a human alive without their body. Like, you can't, there's no such thing as this out of body experience. The mind is forever linked to our physical body.
Because it's also kind of a question that's brought up with cloning. When you clone a human being, or if it's possible to do so, is it the same soul? Is it a separate soul? Is there a soul to begin with? And that's been debated for so long, we don't know the answers. But for this series in particular, I'm more on Herbie's side of things, where, yeah, one of the blatant things that's brought up are kind of Elon Musk figure. I think his name is actually Boy. Is kind of talking about how this is about immortality for humanity. And he's not wrong in that sense of, if it's possible to upload your consciousness this way, you could essentially, as long as you're being powered, live forever, and you're functionally immortal. And that's goes against creation. That goes against what is supposed to happen as a result of the fall. And we can, you know, argue about that all day long. Human beings in this fallen world are supposed to die, and we live our whole lives thinking that we're invincible and that we can move past that, only to be proven that ain't true. And every single one of us outside of Enoch and Elijah has bit the dust. And that's a result of our corruption. And I think one day that's not going to be the case anymore. And that's not because we did anything. It's going to be God did something. But the idea of looking into this, I'm not into, because of the hubris involved, because I highly doubt
that has a big problem.
That, yeah. I highly doubt the idea that you could upload all of my memories into something and then that thing is me. Because human beings don't control the soul and can't really transport it from the body into another object. So my thinking would be, it would be impossible. You would have like a memory simulation of me out there, but it wouldn't be me. There wouldn't be a soul attached to it, unless God himself decided to either create a new one or transfer mine to that. Oh, but I don't think that's a question I can ask. Go ahead. Oh, yeah.
Or we figure it out. God lets us figure it out.
Okay. I mean, it's in the
transfer. Yeah. Cool. Who knows? Who knows?
Like, that we're limited by the technology we have now. Is it actually possible for us to transfer a soul? Okay. Is the soul measurable in a beaker or what have you?
Yeah. Could have. How many gigs is a soul? It's like,
oh, no. And you still have to update Adobe while you're doing it or whatever. Nice.
Yeah.
And whenever the server blue screens that your soul is tied to, do you die?
Oof.
Yeah, probably.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think, too, this, and even especially in a series like this, I don't think that would solve a lot of problems. I think it would create more in a different way. I think you'd have subscriptions for how long. You have like 10 years, and if you pay off this debt, you can continue to keep living up in this uploaded state or what have you. Because, like I said, ultra hyper-capitalist society here with no morals on whatsoever. I think that's exactly something that would happen.
I think you should watch Upload, Christian, because that is one of the major plot points of Upload.
Ah, okay.
There we go.
That's Amazon, right?
Yes, it is Amazon.
Okay.
Cool.
All right. So, of course, we haven't really talked too much about xenomorphs, but they're in the show, too, and they do a great job of maintaining the menace of these creatures, while at the same time, you're going to find out, Evan, exploring, like, what they kind of are. Do they have a higher intelligence to them? Those are questions that are being asked in the episode that I just finished, episode 4. And some very captivating things. But like, if you're like, well, you guys talked about the xenomorphs, like, no, they're there, but there's other important stuff happening too. And they look amazing for, you know, especially for a TV budget.
Oh, right on. I'm excited for that.
All right. Well, you guys have anything else you want to do or say before we wrap things up?
We have a lot to watch.
Oh, yeah.
Upload sounds good.
Upload does sound good. I'll add that to my very, very long list that I'm never going to finish.
The impossibly long list that does nothing but get longer.
Right?
How do you guys manage your queues, quote unquote?
I don't even write it down. And so if I can't remember it, it's not on the list anymore.
That's how I feel about it now. Yeah. Same. Same.
I have an entire Word document of things that I have watched. So if I've seen first season of this, I say blank first season. So I know I haven't seen the second season if that ever shows up, because I'm a very forgetful person. So I don't have like need to watch. I just have what I have. So I know, okay, if it's on this list, I don't need to watch it again unless I want to.
Right. That's a good way.
Okay. All right. So out of the things recommended today, like what do you think is going to be your top recommendation? I'm torn between Strange New Worlds and Alien Earth.
I don't know. I'm on Strange New Worlds. I'm a Star Trek fan. Strange New Worlds, 100% Star Trek. More so than Lower Decks, more so than Discovery. Strange New Worlds, go with it. If you are even remotely a Trekkie, you're going to love it.
Can I just jump in?
I mean, you know what? How much Star Trek have you seen before?
Pretty much all the movies, and but none of the new series.
Yeah. I haven't seen it's fairly standalone. Like, you can enjoy it all by itself. You'll probably miss like a lot of like the Easter eggs or the tie-in.
Sure.
But the plots do stand pretty well on their own. You're gonna pick up on names like, hey, this is Kirk. But not
right. Oh, okay.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah, I think there's enough there to like, yeah, you're going to miss some things, but not enough to like kill enjoyment.
Sure, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll probably go with a Peacemaker, you know? But if you're of a certain age and if certain disposition.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you can take it.
It's a good it is worth your study.
So I think with that, I will go with Alien Earth. Like, I'm very eager to see where they go from here. There's a lot of really good questions they're asking, some really good character interactions, and a fun world. And of course, the Xenomorph retains its menace. And we've got some new creatures as well that we're learning about. That is always nice to expand the world. And I can't wait to see it.
Eyes was
cool. Oh my gosh. Well, they continue with that one.
Oh, that's...
They continue with that one.
That's wild.
Yeah. All right. So those were our recommendations, guys. Thank you very much for all you do. If you're joining us live on YouTube right now, or if you're listening to this in podcast form, we appreciate you guys listening, everything you do. So please, if you get a chance, leave a 5-star review on your podcasting platform of choice, or leave a like, subscribe, and leave a comment down below in this video. You can always suggest future episode topic ideas or anything that you want to talk about us with about. By sending an email to systematicgeekology@gmail.com. I'd like to shout out some supporters and thank them for all that they do. If you'd like your own name to be shouted out here, you can join us at the $3 tier on Patreon or Captivate. And I'm going to shout out Aaron Hardy, Daniel Sigmund, Trip Fuller, and James Barrett. You guys are the best. But remember,
thank you.
You're all the chosen people, a geekdom of priests.
Podcast fam, want to stay even more connected with the show? We've got you covered. Check us out on Instagram and Blue Sky, where we're posting exclusive content and bonus videos and fun updates that you won't get anywhere else. From sneak previews of upcoming episodes to bonus content, our social accounts are the best way to keep the conversation going. Plus, it's a great spot for you to interact with other listeners and share your thoughts. We love hearing from you. When you follow us, it helps us grow and continue bringing you the content that you love. Whether it's a funny poll, a quick clip from today's episodes, or just random thoughts, you'll feel more plugged into everything we're doing. So go ahead and hit that follow button on Instagram and Blue Sky. It's one more way to be a part of the show and keep the good vibes flowing. Thanks for being a part of the family, and we can't wait to see you there.
Hi, friends. It's Laura here, and I just wanted to say thank you for listening to our show. Systematic Geekology is a part of a larger podcast network called the Anazal Podcast Network. Dummy for Theology is Joshua Noel's show discussing different theological topics from various perspectives and attempting to give people more questions than answers. My Seminary Life is Brandon Knight's show. It started as him going through what he was learning in seminary, and after he graduated, he's been doing independent studies and has a lot of fun series like on hermeneutics, Bonhoeffer Summer, and worship. And then Friday Night Frights is a monthly show with Christian Ashley and Joe Day. They have a vote on the Systematic Geekology Facebook group to choose a topic each month and discuss everything from cryptos to ghosts to aliens to serial killers and more. So we hope you'll give it a listen, and thanks for being part of what we're putting out there.